92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking in from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. And I hope you're enjoying the NBA season so far. We're now 8 days into it. Tensions are high. Feels like every night. One night we got Kevin Durant and Dylan Brooks going at it. Next night, we got Klay Thompson and Devin Booker going at it. The Lakers continue to be a mess. They'll be on national television again tonight. We'll talk NBA in a second. First, so quickly, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. 420, Tim Bontemps is going to join me. He covers the NBA for ESPN. I saw Tim on TV yesterday with Max Kellerman. He said, Ja Morant, most exciting player, electrifying player in the NBA. And it's inarguable. So I get him to expand on that thought. Talk NBA with it. Bounce around the Western Conference. Tim Bontemps is going to join me in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point we're going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Kanye West, Donda Dove's high school basketball team has been removed from a prominent tournament because of his anti-Semitic words. So the fallout continues for the 24-time Grammy winner. Tell you more about that around 4:44. Former good quarterback Russell Wilson says he's ready to roll on Sunday in London. Broncos-Jaguars at Wembley Stadium. What did England do to deserve that? I mean, they just lost their queen over there.
Oh, the Jaguars are the official team of London. Did you not know that?
I feel like I knew that.
Unofficial.
Two teams combined 4-10 records. Russell Wilson struggling. Let's send him to London and let him play football. Poor people just lost their queen. Now they got to watch Russell Wilson all in the same year. Tough situation. Talk NFL a little later on this hour. Roy McIlroy, top-ranked golfer in the world, granted an interview to The Guardian during which he said the players who left the PGA Tour for LIV Golf caused him to feel betrayal for the first time in his life. That's interesting. I'll tell you more about what Rory said just before 5 o'clock in a wild story in the Washington Post. Charles Fishman sent this to me. Here's the headline. Just going to tell you the headline. You tell me if it sounds like a story. Here's the headline. Woman goes to work. That's normal, right? Women go to work. Mm-hmm. That's normal. Nothing crazy about that. Woman goes to work, gets swallowed whole by a 22-foot python.
Damn.
Imagine. Think about the
You're
worst
going
thing.
To work.
Think about the worst thing that's ever happened to you on your way to work. It ain't getting swallowed whole by a python.
Yeah, I think that's true.
It's maybe like a flat tire.
Yeah.
Or perhaps a minor traffic
fender
accident.
Bender, yeah.
Woman was trying to go to work and got swallowed whole by a 22-foot python. What in the world? I'll tell you what happened during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Coggins, just like always, then I eventually do dinner to go. Get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the NBA here in the middle of a work week because we are now 8 days into the 2022-23 season, and it's been a fun season so far. As of this moment, we got two undefeated teams remaining. Trivia time, Big Ben Bennett.
Yeah.
What two teams are undefeated in the NBA right now?
The Trailblazers.
That's
I
right.
know that.
And then we got one in the East, but they barely played.
I'll say the Boston Celtics.
Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
Portland Trailblazers are 4-0. Milwaukee Bucks are 2-0. Everybody else has at least one loss, including the Grizzlies, who are 3-1, tied for second in the Western Conference standings. Got a game tomorrow night at Sacramento on deck. The Kings, by the way, are one of just three teams that have yet to win a game in this season. They're 0-3. Lakers also 0-3. And then the Magic, bless them, league worst 0-4, well on their way to trying to get Victor Wembanyama to pair with Paolo Banchero. It's worth losing.
Yeah.
If you could move forward.
I think they were anticipating this.
Paolo Banchero and Victor Wembanyama. That'd be a nice front court.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably worth losing for. Fun doubleheader on TNT last night. First, the shorthanded Pelicans upset the Mavericks 113-111.
I should have just I actually had that pick, and I should have just stayed with it on Dinner to Go.
I have no data to back this up. I will just tell you how it feels. Every time you adjust a bet, not every time, but more often than not, it feels like when you adjust a bet based off of injuries, it doesn't work out for you.
Right.
I cannot tell you how many times I've got a bet in when you hear about injuries and you say, hey, I want to jump on this before the number moves or jump on mm-hmm. this as quickly as possible. Oh, my God, the Pelicans are without Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson and Herb Jones. Let's take them out. It feels like it's all – it's not always a losing situation. It feels like it is always a losing situation. And I feel like if I had data on it, at least as it pertains to my own life, those things, they tend to backfire more often than not. So Pelicans shorthanded down at the Smoothie King Center, upset the Mavericks, 113-111. Luka missed a three at the buzzer. It wasn't a great look, but it was a look. You had to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Missed it. So Pelicans win that game 113-111, which means a Mavericks team that blasted Ja Morant and the Grizzlies on Saturday night spent Tuesday night losing to a Pelicans team missing Zion, Brandon Ingram, and Herb Jones. That's just the way the NBA works.
For sure. The Pelicans are a problem, it appears.
I think they're good.
Yeah.
Barkley
said they did a bold predictions thing, and this was before this game, and he said he thought they got a chance to win the West.
Absolutely, they have a chance.
Yeah.
When healthy, and that's a big if with them, particularly as it pertains to Zion. But when healthy, absolutely, I think the Pelicans can go from being an interesting team to like a legitimate Western Conference contender. And if you're a legitimate Western Conference contender, then by definition, you're a legitimate NBA title contender. They looked good last night, even while shorthanded. So that was the first game of the doubleheader. In the second game, Suns blew out the Warriors 134-105. They outscored Golden State by 23 points in the second half while Klay Thompson was ejected for the first time in his career. How about that? Klay Thompson has been in the NBA since 2011, more than a decade. He's played in 651 regular season games, and he had never been ejected until last night. After the game, Steve Kerr, Golden State's coach, he chalked it up mostly to just frustration. Klay was 1 of 8 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3, and just getting cooked by Kendall Jenner's boyfriend, Devin Booker. He finished with 34 points, 10 of 19 shooting. Best anybody can gather, Book was cooking, Klay was struggling, Book was talking to him about it, basically telling Klay he's in decline. Just like the Tampa Bay Rowdies franchise,
mm-hmm.
trending down like the Rowdies. And then Klay told Book, and I'm paraphrasing here, but more or less, talk to me when you've accomplished something. I got 4 rings here, clown. And then Book was probably like, congrats on getting to play with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. If I did that, I'd probably have 4 rings too, you know?
Yeah.
Fair point.
It's a fair point. I can't stand either of those dudes, so I wish they would have let them, go at each other.
You wish they'd have killed each other.
Beat the crap out of each other, yeah. But I do, listen, Booker in his postgame even said, basically what you just said is, it's part of the game. It's trash talking. I respect the guy. He said repeatedly that he has 4 rings. And I will say that is annoying, man. That is very annoying. I get it. Hey, you got 4 rings, so you've always got the trump card, when guys talk trash to you. But, they were showing video clips of them last night, and that's all they were doing was throwing up the 4 ring sign. I was just like, all right, man.
It's almost
sick
like
of Klay.
It's almost like nobody can talk to us because we have previously been great. Nobody can talk to us because we've won championships, and that's just not the way the NBA works. Whether it's Devin Booker or Ja Morant, these young superstars are going to talk, particularly to a Klay Thompson who is off to a rough start and clearly not the same player that he once was. I think you can argue Steph is pretty close to what he's always been.
Yeah,
but Klay's not the same guy.
No.
And Draymond's not the
same
guy.
After the injuries, yeah.
Yeah. He's older. He's been through multiple big injuries. He's not the same guy. And I bet you Book was reminding him of that a little bit. Combine it with the internal frustration of just not playing well, and he starts popping off. Everybody gets technicals. Klay gets ejected. He didn't speak to the media after the game, but like you said, Devin Booker did. And when asked about that incident, the quote was, "I love Klay Thompson." That's what Devin Booker said. "I have for a really long time. But that doesn't excuse us from being competitive, talking to each other. I've always admired his game, how he plays on both sides of the ball, and obviously the rings, they speak for themselves. But I'm going to bring it every time." End quote. Fair enough. Klay Thompson, by the way, through four games, I mentioned struggling, shooting a career-low 35.6% from the field, career-low 28.6% from three, and averaging a career-low 11 points per game. That's fifth on the team in scoring. We've been so focused on Russell, future Hall of Famer Russell Westbrook is struggling in L.A. that it's been glossed over a little bit. Future Hall of Famer Klay Thompson is really struggling with Golden State right now. James Wiseman is averaging more points in nearly five fewer minutes per game than Klay Thompson.
He looks good.
Klay Thompson's got a player efficiency rating, 8.39. That ranks ninth on the Warriors behind players like James Wiseman, Kevon Looney, Jamichael Green, Moses Moody. Being an agent star in the NBA isn't easy.
No.
32 years old. He's had multiple major injuries, Klay Thompson. Just not the same guy. And when a 25-year-old like Devin Booker is just cooking you on national television and telling you about it, I imagine that would be frustrating.
Oh, and the younger guys clearly get under Klay's skin. Like, they win a ring, and he goes to the podium right after they win their ring last year. The first thing he's talking about is calling Jaren Jackson Jr. a clown.
He seems to think that the younger guys should respect him for what he has accomplished in this league and for the career he's built as one of the greatest shooters of all time. And his interpretation of respect me is, don't ever talk to me.
Don't talk, right.
Or don't ever talk about me. Don't talk at me. And that's just not the way it works. Like, I think these guys, I don't know how Jaren feels now, but I think if you'd have asked Jaren a year ago, do you respect Klay Thompson? He'd say, of course I respect Klay Thompson. How do you not respect Klay Thompson? He's a champion, one of the greatest shooters of all time. Devin Booker said last night, I respect Klay Thompson. But I don't respect him so much that I'm just never going to say a word to him. I mean, we've seen Patrick Beverley pop off to LeBron James.
Yeah, right.
In fact, I remember LeBron James at one point, it might have been against the Grizzlies, sort of looking bewildered, like, why are these young guys?
It was when the Grizzlies, I think it was in L.A., and the Grizzlies just killed them last season, and he got in Desmond's face, I remember specifically, got real mad. He was like, y'all gonna stop talking. I'm tired of it.
It's almost like, I mean, I get it. It'd be like these young guys who were in diapers when I started this thing are now popping off to me. I'm the king. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And Klay Thompson's got a little bit of that. He's not LeBron James, but he does seem to think it's out of line for young people, younger stars, to talk to him. And, you know, whether it's Jaren Jackson or Devin Booker, they're going to tell him, no, it's not out of line. This is the NBA. There are actually seven technical fouls in a span of 6 minutes in that third quarter last night. Seven technical fouls in 6 minutes. Like Draymond, of course Draymond got one.
Oh, yeah.
Book got one, Klay got two, Steve Kerr got one. It was a lot going on. And, you know, we know the Grizzlies and Warriors, I think, respect each other, but also don't like each other. They talk crazy to each other, about each other. Now we got the Suns and Warriors bringing that intensity and talking wild to each other. And this comes a night after Dylan Brooks and Kevin Durant had to be calmed down inside FedEx Forum. You know, people sometimes say the NBA's regular season is boring because there's so many games. The players don't seem to take many of the games seriously. They sit out, not all the time, but, you know, there's scheduled rest in there. But through 8 days of the season, we've seen some really great slash fun slash yeah. intense stuff. Like, I like it this way.
I think it's because the league, I'm not going to say finally, but, like, there is definitely parity in the NBA right now. Like, no one knows who's going to win the title this season, right? There's just a bunch of good teams, and so I think you get way more competitive regular season games just because so many teams right now think they got a chance to win the whole thing.
Yeah, it's been a fun first yeah. 8 days of the season, and the biggest story, and this will allow us to look ahead a little bit, continues to be, you know, what's happening with the Los Angeles Lakers. Winless still. There's an interesting column from Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix this morning, and it was headlined this way: the Lakers are in danger of unraveling. And the first sentence of the 12th paragraph, it read this way: Russell Westbrook has to go. Period. Russell Westbrook has to go. Former MVP, future Hall of Famer. He's obviously off to the worst start of his career after having the worst season of his career last season. He's averaging, Russell Westbrook, 10 points per game, career low. Career low, he's shooting 28.9% from the field, and he's shooting a career low 8.3% from three. And the decision-making has once again been brutal. You know, in Sunday's loss, I think you referenced this yesterday to or earlier in the week. In Sunday's loss to Portland, the Lakers were up a point in the final minute. And Russell Westbrook pulls up for a mid-range jumper with 18 seconds left on the shot clock. And that's where LeBron and AD were both, like, visibly, noticeably upset, frustrated. Needless to say, predictably, Russell Westbrook missed the shot because he misses, like, most of his shots. And this is wild to me. According to ESPN Stats and Info, that moment was the first time a player has attempted a jumper with less than 30 seconds left in regulation and more than 15 seconds left on the shot clock with his team up by one possession in the last four seasons.
Wow.
It was such a bad shot considering time and score that literally nobody else in the NBA has even tried such a thing in the past four seasons.
Oh, yeah.
That's how bad of a shot it was. Nobody else in the past four seasons has even tried a shot like that under those circumstances for 4 years. But Russell Westbrook, who is missing more than 7 out of every 10 shots he takes, took that shot anyway. Then he missed, then Portland scored, then the Blazers won to drop the Lakers to 0-3. And now Los Angeles is going to be back on a big stage tonight. Lakers Nuggets, ESPN, 9 o'clock. Russell Westbrook, by the way, not expected to play. Got a hamstring injury, so that's good news for the Lakers.
It is good news. I mean, it's a tough opponent for them. I think they're going to be 0-4.
Certainly the likely scenario is that they're going to be 0-4. And as Chris Mannix wrote at SI.com, in real danger of unraveling. In the column, he wrote that the Lakers should just go ahead and do the best deal you can do right now, which is probably a deal that's been on the table since the preseason, and that's Russell Westbrook and two future first-round picks. Send it to Indiana for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. And that would add two shooters to put around LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and give you a starting lineup of Patrick Beverley, Buddy Hield, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Miles Turner. That do anything for you?
I don't think it's good enough to win the West, but I think it's good enough to definitely be in the playoff mix. Yes.
I think that's probably true. Probably doesn't get you where you're trying to get to, but it does get you out of this mess of a situation where everything is miserable.
Yeah, like I don't think they're a playoff team right now. I don't. Maybe play in. I don't think they're a playoff team. And so, yeah, they got to do something.
You make that deal. Can you finish sixth in the West? You make that deal today. Could you finish sixth in the West?
I think barring health, yeah, it's possible.
I think it's possible. But I don't know if it's good enough to win the title. Mm. And if it's not good enough to win the title, is it worth doing?
Yeah, because it's LeBron's there. It's the Lakers. Like, you got to try. You got to give it your best shot.
So the argument against doing this deal right now would be because it doesn't get you to championship level. It gets you better and maybe even gets you good. Like, I actually think that would be a good team. Patrick Beverley, Buddy Hield, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Miles Turner, even if it falls short of making you an obvious contender for a championship. So the argument against it would be, the argument for it would be, hey, you get rid of Russell Westbrook, you remove that situation from the franchise, and you immediately get good, or very quickly, in theory, get good. That's the argument for. The argument against is you get good, but you don't get great. We're trying to, you know, nobody's going to care if LeBron James makes the second round of the playoffs. It doesn't help his Wikipedia page at all. This is all about championships. And what is the point of doing a deal at the expense of your future if it's not going to get you in a position to win a championship? Why not wait? Send Russell Westbrook away? Which is like, we've now reached the point where sensible, smart NBA people think that is a real option. Option one, trade Russell Westbrook. Option two, just get him out of here. Just tell him to stay home. We're going to keep paying you. We love you. But we don't want you to be a part of this basketball team anymore. You're hurting more than you're helping. Send him away and then wait and hope. And so what does that hope look like if you're a Lakers fan? You hope that the Brooklyn Nets fall apart, that they're just terrible. And Kyrie becomes a problem there, and Kyrie becomes available again. And Brooklyn says, okay, we'll take Russell Westbrook, put him with Kevin Durant. They've played together before. And we'll take these two future first-round draft picks, and we'll see where we go for him. Or you hope, and I'm just throwing things out here, maybe the Bulls start struggling. DeMar DeRozan becomes available. Zach LaVine becomes available. So the argument against doing the Pacers deal now is that maybe a better deal for a bigger, better player is available in 3 weeks or 5 weeks or 7 weeks or whenever, at which point maybe you can add a third star to LeBron and AD and become a true championship contender.
The problem is you're likely going to be 0-4 after tonight. I know it's so early. I know there's so much time left, but like in the West, I just don't think you can wait that long.
I think you can wait a little longer, but you know, Woj had suggested waiting 20 games. I don't think you can do nothing for 20 games. Maybe you
I
can.
Don't either.
Maybe you can send Russell Westbrook away and get through the first 20 games, and be good enough to hang around, and then you go make a big deal that materializes when somebody pivots into tank mode. Maybe you can do that. They got to do something.
Yeah,
they're gonna have to do something. There's no perfect solutions, but they're gonna have to try something at some point. Just a real mess Rob Pelinka has created with that franchise. Either way, going to be on display. National television again tonight. Lakers, Nuggets in Denver. ESPN, 9 o'clock Central tip. Tim Bontemps covers the NBA for ESPN. I'm going to talk to him about the Lakers, Grizzlies, NBA in general. Going to join me next. You're listening. Gary Parrish Show, we're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Run. Here come the menaces to sobriety, like what? Super thug is thumping on
Kanye
the
West, Donda Dove's high school basketball team has been removed from a prominent tournament because of his anti-Semitic words. So the fallout continues. Tell you more about that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, he covers the NBA for ESPN. It's Tim Bontemps making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Tim, it's GP. I always appreciate your time. We are now 8 days into this NBA season. It's been fun so far. The Grizzlies shorthanded without Jaren Jackson Jr., but still off to a 3-1 start coming off for a victory. A double-digit win against the Brooklyn Nets. Just let's get started with your initial impressions of the Grizzlies so far this season?
I mean, so far, GP, I think it's been, as you said, a really good start for the Grizz. You know, with no Jaren, to be able to get off to this kind of start, to be able to play this well right off the gate is a really good sign. You know, losing Kyle Anderson in the offseason with Jaren going down, there definitely were, you know, trading away DeAnthony Melton to the Sixers, another nice young player. There definitely were people around the league who were skeptical that the Grizz would be able to repeat the obviously incredible success they had last season, especially in what is a very deep and difficult Western Conference. But to get off to this kind of start, to be able to put up the kind of numbers they did against, you know, albeit a very awful defensive team in the Nets the other night, I mean, certainly it's been everything that the Grizz would have hoped for to start the year, and Ja remains the most electrifying player in the league. So, you know, every time he's on the court, he's made it clear that you need to tune in and watch.
I saw you on TV yesterday describe him that way and add that, in your opinion, it is inarguable that he is the most exciting player in the NBA. LeBron, still a bigger star. Steph Curry, still a bigger star. But have we reached the point, you think, where, you know, Ja Morant is one of the players, if not the player, people want to watch on television?
Yeah, I mean, I called him on this just in yesterday, GP, the most electrifying player in the league, and I do think that's inarguable at this point. And Max's question originally, Max Kellerman, was, can Ja be the best player in the league? And I think it's probably unlikely that he will be the best player in the NBA. Just, you know, he's not a great defensive player. He's not the same size as a guy like Luka or a guy like Giannis. You know, he's obviously had the injury questions. But to your point, every time the Grizzlies are on, it's very hard for me not to just sit and watch the Grizzlies and not change the channel. And the reason why is because at any point in the game, this guy could be jumping over the backboard to dunk the ball as a 6'2", you know, live wire of a player, right? I mean, he just does stuff every game. And it's funny, and they were playing the Nets the other day. I mean, I remember tuning in for either his first home game or one of his first couple games when he blocked Kyrie Irving at the buzzer to force overtime in that game. And, like, he, just from the very beginning of his time in the league, he just constantly does stuff that makes you catch your breath as you're watching him play. And, you know, hopefully he's on the court playing for a long time, because he's on the short list of guys already that I enjoy watching over my time watching the NBA over everybody else.
Talking to Tim Bontemps, covers the NBA for ESPN. He's on Twitter at Tim Bontemps. Interesting night in the league last night. Big game, Suns 134, Warriors 105. Klay Thompson gets removed from the game, ejected, for the first time in his career. Clearly frustrated. It looked like, and I'm watching from a distance, obviously, but he was struggling, and he's been struggling this season. He's getting cooked by Book. Book was talking to him a little bit, and he just sort of lost his mind for a minute, bit of frustration. What did you make of that scene?
I mean, I think you summed it up pretty well. I mean, my man Marcus Thompson with The Athletic wrote a nice piece. He was down in Phoenix. I was reading it this morning. And, you know, Klay is a really proud and competitive guy, right? I mean, everybody, you know, thinks about, like, Boat Klay and, you know, all these other, like, sort of meme things that come up with Klay Thompson. But he is a rock solid competitor and just a really intense guy on the court. And like you said, he was 0-for-5 from 3 in the game, shot 1-for-8 from the field. He's gotten off to a slow start, not for the first time in his career. Klay is sort of a notorious slow starter, but, you know, remember, this guy missed 2.5 years of his life. He spent rehabbing first a torn ACL and then a torn Achilles. And he just, you know, he spent a long time getting back on the court. And he might not be quite the same player that he was pre-injuries, but he's still a really smart guy. He's still a lights-out shooter. He still is, you know, a big, strong, physical defender on the wing. And he's a proudly competitive guy. And, you know, it certainly he and Book have gone at it before in a competitive sense. And, you know, Klay, you know, when Klay was walking off pointing to his hand, it was pretty clear what the message was, which was, we have 4 rings and you guys don't. And, you know, there's also history there with Chris Paul, obviously going back to the Clipper days. So, you know, that was the series we all thought we were going to see last year. You know, once Golden State was able to get by Memphis, I certainly thought the Suns were going to wrap up that series with Dallas. They did not. And, you know, certainly going forward here, I would be quite happy to see a Suns-Warriors series sometime in the playoffs to see those teams go at it. And I suspect that by then, Klay Thompson will be shooting a little better than he is right now.
Elsewhere in the West, Minnesota off to a 2-2 start. And only bring them up because they had an interesting post-game press conference two nights ago where Anthony Edwards acknowledged he was bad once again on a second night of a back-to-back and said he's got to figure out how to be better in those spots. Carl Anthony Towns was subsequently asked about it, if he could do something to help Anthony Edwards in those moments, and he said maybe I could help him with his diet a little bit. I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, I know you guys love it and think it's funny when he talks about eating Popeyes all the time, but it's not funny to me. We are high-level athletes. We should treat our bodies accordingly. Are you concerned at all about those comments and, you know, just the uneven start in Minnesota? Because they gave up a lot to put themselves in this position, and it's very early, but it seems to be a bit rocky.
Yeah, I mean, the uneven start, no, right? I mean, it's obviously, you know, Carl Towns missed basically the entire preseason. He had an illness and was in the hospital for a few days, lost a bunch of weight. They basically didn't play together, and they're trying to integrate, you know, Rudy Gobert into this new team. They completely overhaul most of the team, right? So that's going to take some time. I mean, these comments from Carl were weird. I mean, that was sort of a weird move to make to try to, you know, call the guy out like that from the podium. But not the first time Carl's made an odd comment at the podium. And, you know, look, I think ultimately they're going to be a very good team. I like to remind people all the time, back in 2013-14, at the start of the process in Philadelphia, the Sixers went 3-0 with Michael Carter-Williams at point guard, including beating the Heatles in Miami, and they went on to finish 19-63. So the first 7-8 days of the season, well, everybody's ready to jump on things that are happening and make quick pronouncements about, you know, all this week means this is going to happen or that's going to happen with these different teams. More often than not, the NBA is a really long season, and this is just a blip on that long road to the end of the regular season in April. So I suspect Minnesota's going to be fine, but certainly from a chemistry standpoint with, you know, some mercurial personalities there, that will be something to keep an eye on for sure.
Doubleheader on ESPN tonight, 6:30 Central, Nets at Bucks. It is Brooklyn's fourth game of the season. The Nets are 1-2 with a loss to the Grizzlies to start. Ben Simmons has been a story because he has been non-existent. Tim, I said this yesterday. You know, I'm watching the Grizzlies and Nets a couple of nights ago, and I just had this moment where I sort of looked up in the second quarter, and I was like, I haven't even thought of Ben Simmons one time. I haven't even noticed him in this game. He missed all of last season. I suppose rust is an obvious thing that he would have to deal with, but what have you seen from Ben Simmons through three games this season?
I mean, he looks like the same guy who was playing at the end of the conference semifinals against the Hawks in 2021, right? I mean, that's what he looks like. He looks like a guy that is afraid to shoot. He looks like a guy that doesn't really want to have the ball. You know, obviously he can be a imposing force on the defensive end, but he needs to be much more of a factor at the other end of the court. And look, I mean, the Nets in general, like, you know, I just think of the old Danny Green press conference, you know, with the whole crown of thing, and this is who we thought they were, right? Like, the Nets have no defensive talent. They have no size. They have no real way to guard the other team. And, you know, yeah, Ben Simmons can do that, can guard somebody, and Royce O'Neal is a half-decent wing defender, but they don't really have anything else beyond that. And so, you know, look, the Ben Simmons thing is a problem. Obviously, he needs to play better. I suspect he will play better. Again, sort of like Klay Thompson, whether it was obviously a different situation last year, but he hasn't really played basketball in a year and a half. I expect him to get better as things go on here. But ultimately, I just don't think the Nets are that good. And, you know, the other night, it's not a coincidence that they were in the first regulation game to have two players on each team and four players total score 35 points each in a game, right? Like, Kyrie and KD are going to put up a ton of points, and they're also going to give up a ton of points every night. And I thought the way that Grizzlies game played out is sort of emblematic of what the Nets are going to look like against the better competition in the league, regardless of whether Ben Simmons gets back to his prior form or not. This team just is not very good and deep outside of those top two or three guys.
Wrapping up here with Tim Bontips from ESPN. Last thing before I let you go. The second part of the doubleheader tonight, Lakers-Nuggets in Ball Arena, 9 o'clock tip on ESPN. The Lakers are 0-3, and I don't think many people, if anybody, believe this Russell Westbrook thing would go well this season, but it's going even more poorly than most anticipated. He's averaging a career-low 10 points per game, shooting a career-low 28.9% from the field, career-low 8.3% from three. Our buddy Chris Mannix at Sports Illustrated had a column this morning that more or less said they've got to do something, and they've got to do something now. You can't wait 20 games into the season, which is among the things Woj has reported they would like to do, because you're digging too big of a hole. It's time to just do a deal with the Pacers, get Miles Turner, get Buddy Hield, and get on with it. What are your thoughts on what's happening with LeBron James' franchise right now?
Well, no offense to Mannix. I think that would be an insane decision to make that trade. I think now what they should do is send Russell Westbrook home, GP. That is what they should do. What I don't really understand in all the things that the Lakers have been doing is how they have been seemingly kowtowing to Russell Westbrook in this scenario. Russell Westbrook is not worth the effort that they are putting in at this point. If he's on a team that's trying to win 35 or 40 games, maybe he can come in and give you some production and sort of be able to do sort of what he did with the Wizards a couple of years ago, right? When they wanted to make the playoffs and he helped them make the playoffs and they built the team all around him. But if you don't have the team built all around Russell Westbrook, he's an abject disaster on the court. He can't shoot. He doesn't guard. It's a complete mockery of what a winning team is trying to do. And look, the Lakers are second in the league in defense right now. They're not going to be a good team, whether they send Russell Westbrook home or not. They don't have the ability to be a real contender in the Western Conference. I mean, look at the team in your town. Memphis is so much better than the Lakers. Dallas, so much better. New Orleans, so much better. Denver, so much better. These teams are all just significantly better than this Lakers team. But if they don't have Russell Westbrook out there and they're guarding and grinding out wins, they could be an okay team. But the way this is going right now, this is just a complete disaster. And I think to go back to the point about the trade, the Indiana trade that's talked about a lot, before the season, Rob Pelinka gave an interview, and people focused on the first thing that he said, which was that, you know, when LeBron committed to sign this extension with the Lakers, it meant that we had an obligation to try to build a championship team around him and to move these two draft picks they have to make moves to try to win now. The thing that was ignored was the second part of what Pelinka said, which was, but those moves have to be moves, I'm paraphrasing, but those moves have to be moves that put us into championship contention. No disrespect to Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, who would be the two best shooters on the Lakers by a country mile. It would make them a clearly better team. The Lakers are not a championship caliber team with Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Buddy Hield, and Miles Turner, and a bunch of Stephs. Like, they're just not, they're nowhere near the quality of these other teams in the Western Conference. So to me, the move is send Russell Westbrook home, try to be a defense-first team, sort of a worse version of the team pre the Westbrook trade, grind through the season as best they can, and wait to see if, say, the Nets implode and Kyrie Irving is available in 3 months, or, you know, the Bulls implode and maybe they could get one of their stars in 3 months, or go to next summer and have Anthony Davis, LeBron James in a max cap spot to go sign, you know, Kyrie Irving or some other star free agent that becomes available. That, to me, is the path that if the Lakers take it, maybe they could put this team in championship contention sometime in the near future. But if they put all their assets in for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, then they're just looking to be a 7th seed or a 6th seed maybe in the West. And for what their ultimate aspirations are, I just think that's a half measure. It doesn't make any sense, which all adds up to it's going to be a truly wonderful season for the many people around the league who and around the country who like to see the Lakers lose.
Yeah, there's been a lot of it lately. That's Tim Bontips from ESPN. Make sure you're reading him, ESPN.com, watching him on ESPN. Follow him on Twitter, at Tim Bontips. You're the best, buddy. Thank you so much for being here.
Anytime, GP. Talk to you soon, man.
All right. Tim Bontips from ESPN. When we come back, Kanye West, Donda Dove's high school basketball team has been removed from a prominent tournament because of his anti-Semitic words. The fallout continues for the 24-time Grammy winner. Tell you more about that next. You listen to The Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
As you come out to the light, can your eyes behold the sight? It's only Monday. Tomorrow never comes until it's too late.
Just so you remember who you're dealing with, the number don't change, I know who the chemist is. Brick by brick, we kept open dealerships. Mitch by Mitch, we built up our villages. Seeing you rappers apply for the stimulus. Living a lie, but die for your images. It's guns involved like cowboys and Indians. You track hawk, are not my equivalent. Flew your to Cuba for the thrill of it, but I ain't go to show you what you should have did.
Are you looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, or business insurance? If so, get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. That's a second-generation local agency. Been owned and operated since 1981. If you live in Tennessee or Mississippi, Elizabeth can help you. A proud partner with Memphis Tigers Athletics. So if you want to support a business that supports the local athletic department, then Elizabeth Rook Insurance is the agency for you. If you don't have a great life insurance policy, you need to get one. You wouldn't want something to unexpectedly happen to you, then you leave your loved ones in a financial bind. Unfortunately, that kind of thing happens to families in this country every single day, but it doesn't have to happen. It's avoidable. And that's because life insurance policies are affordable, probably more affordable than you realize. So if you don't have a great one, you need to get one, and you can get it with Elizabeth Rook Insurance right now. Two locations in the Memphis area. One is in Lakeland on Canada Road. The other is in Covington on Highway 51. You can reach them at 867-SAVE, 901-867-7283. It's Elizabeth Rook Insurance on the web, rookinsurance.com. Jeff Cargan's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
The star players on Kanye West's Donda Academy basketball team will not be able to showcase their talents on one of the high school hoop's biggest stages this year. And it's all because of Ye's controversial anti-Semitic comments. That's the first sentence from a story posted this morning, TMZ.com. The Scholastic Play-by-Play Classics announced Donda has been scrapped from the schedule, claiming Kanye West's words are, quote, words and actions that violate our values as a company and a country, and what we seek to ensure at all of our events, a spirit of diversity, sportsmanship, inclusion, equity, and mutual respect. This dude's screwing it up for the kids now.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what's kind of one of the more disappointing aspects of this whole thing is you've got this Donda Academy and, like, you've done good things for these kids over the years, and now you're piling on and piling on with these just outrageous statements, and it's affecting kids, like you said. I mean, it's pretty sad.
You think he's going to snap out of this at some point and go, holy God, I really did
why
it this time.
Why am I doing this to myself?
No, it's all, like, it's not why am I doing this to myself, now let me stop and I'll fix everything. Yeah, I don't think this is fixable.
No.
I don't think this is fixable. Like, once, you know, we hear a lot about cancel culture and a lot of it is nonsense, but once the business community cancels you, they just say, we're not dealing with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And once, you know, the fans, you can always win back over, but you can't. You can win some of them back over, but you can never get back what you had once you have been separated from all of these structural things the way that he's been separated now. Big stadiums won't book him. He's publicly complained about that. He lost dates at SoFi Stadium over his remarks. CAA dumped him. The fashion industry has cut all ties with him, all meaningful ties. A lot of the people that he's collaborated with to make, you know, historically great albums and hits, they're done with him, they say. Like, at some point, you look up, and it's like, it's all gone. Like, Louis C.K. is still funny. He's just as funny as he, you know, as he's always been. You ain't going to see a Netflix special from Louis C.K. You're not going to see him on HBO. You're not going to see him selling out arenas. Louis C.K. now tapes specials and sells them on his website.
Wow.
This guy was one of the biggest comedians in the world. But once he was, quote, canceled, that's over. Ryan Adams was like every songwriter's favorite songwriter. Perhaps that's an overstatement, but you get the point. A critic's darling. His last album didn't get reviewed. No promotion whatsoever. It just completely ignored. Once people decide, all right, we're done with you, and the industry starts ignoring you, not the fans, the industry just says you don't exist anymore, everything becomes very difficult. Ryan Adams went from being a critic's darling to he can't even get anybody to pay attention to his album. And now he's still doing shows. But you know how he's selling tickets? Through his fan club.
Wow.
They send an email out to his fan club and say, hey, Ryan's going to be playing in St. Louis this weekend if you want tickets. That's where his career is at now. And on a much larger scale, that is what's happening to Kanye West now. He is being terminated by the industry. Fashion, music, sports, everything. And I don't think you can recover from that. I don't think he will ever, I was, you know, texting with a friend last night. He has been able to overcome his erratic behavior for a long time and it not really impact his money, impact his ability to make albums that people like. I don't think this is when he can come back from like that. I'm not saying it's over for him, but it is. He has done damage that I don't think can be undone.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that we as a country love a good comeback story. So I could definitely see, like, you know, years from now, him dropping a new album and it being massive, right?
Yeah, if people want to pay attention to it, though.
Yeah.
You know,
but now, no, not right now.
When people just, like, he could drop an album, people could just ignore it.
Yeah.
You know, the critics could just ignore it.
That's true.
Nobody could put him in a stadium to debut it. You know, radio could just start, you know, not play it.
Well, that's happening right now.
I mean, you just told me. We could say this, I think, right?
I think so, yeah.
Odyssey has...
They're not playing his music right now.
Yeah, Odyssey has taken all Kanye West music out of the rotation on every Odyssey station in the United States. Like, how do you come back from that? I don't know. And now he's got a basketball team that is going to miss out on a big event because he can't get out of his own way.
Story number two.
Denver Broncos star quarterback Russell Wilson said he intends to play this weekend against the Jacksonville Jaguars in London. This dude said he stretched and worked out on the plane for 4 hours.
He's just too much, man. He's just too much. He's doing too much.
Man, I don't need to know what you did on your plane.
Sometimes I feel bad for him, but I'm like, man, you just do it to yourself. Like,
just show up. just show up and play good football, man.
Like, everyone just thinks he is so lame.
I don't need to know what you're doing on the plane.
I do laugh every time people post. What was the Subway, like, TikTok video he did? This where he's like, ooh, you're feeling dangerous. I love those.
He is such a mess.
Yeah.
Poor London, by the way.
You know what? You say that, but I was saying earlier, Jacksonville has become like the London team. Like, I think that's like what London has adopted as their NFL team is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, then
for some reason.
Well, then I reiterate, poor London.
Yeah, poor London. I think that's because they hope that maybe the Jaguars will like move there one day. I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but London wants an NFL team one day.
These folks just lost their queen, and now we're going to make them watch Russell Wilson play football? That seems cruel.
That does seem a little cruel. They've been through a lot. I don't know if... Yeah.
London's been through a lot.
I feel like that after the death of the queen, we could have done better than Jags Broncos.
We should send them Patrick Mahomes for a day.
Could we not send them the Chiefs? Could we not send them Josh Allen and the Bills?
Hey, London, like, sorry about your queen. here's Patrick Mahomes for a day to take your mind off things.
I think that would have been a nicer gesture by the NFL. Like, we could have flexed this thing. I just think we've already seen a big enough sample size of Russell Wilson and the Broncos that the NFL should have jumped in here and said, you know, London, we know this has been a tough year. It's been a tough year. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, London, sorry about your queen. I know that must have been painful to go through. Now you get to watch Russell Wilson throw incomplete passes. It's just a lot.
Ouch.
It's just a lot to put on one city.
I think so, too.
You know? It's just a lot to put on the United Kingdom in such a short period of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet they'll have a big stadium, though. They get fans at those things.
Wembley Stadium is where we're playing this weekend.
They go off at Wembley, yeah. They usually get a big crowd for those.
Wow. I hope they like 13-9 games. Because that's what they're getting.
Story number 3.
World number one Roy McIlroy granted an interview to The Guardian and said that with the players leaving the PGA Tour for LIV Golf, he said that's, quote, the first time in my life that I felt betrayal. And on one hand, that's sad.
Sure.
To be betrayed.
God, you've had a pretty good life, Rory.
That's what I thought. If you're 33 years old and you made it to 33 without ever feeling betrayal.
Yeah, dude, you're living good.
Yeah, I felt betrayal. Like
yesterday.
Yeah, but like I felt betrayal very much, much earlier than 33.
Too. My kid betrays me every day.
I feel like I've been betrayed my whole life. I feel like I've been dealing with betrayal my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I don't believe you, Rory.
I love Roy McIlroy.
I like him too.
But this is the first time in my life I've ever felt betrayal. Seems a little overdramatic.
It's extreme.
It seems a little extreme, you know? And again, if this is genuinely the first time you've ever felt betrayed at the age of 33, that's a great life.
An amazing life.
How many times do you think you've been betrayed in your life? How old are you now, Bennett?
35.
Okay, so you're just a couple years older than Roy McIlroy.
Yeah.
How many times do you think you've been betrayed in your life?
I would say at least 30.
At least 30?
Yeah.
I think I'm at least 30, too.
Yeah.
In fairness, I've done the betraying as well.
I've probably betrayed in my life, too.
I've been on both sides of betrayal.
Yeah.
It ain't fun either side of it. Be better if we just treated each other well, you know?
Yeah, yeah. How old did you say Rory was again?
33.
Damn, man.
First time you ever been betrayed. It's been first 32 years on life, never betrayed. That's pretty good.
I feel betrayed that he looks like that and I look like this.
Well, you can't compare yourself to Roy McIlroy.
I guess.
Bennett, you were never going to be Roy McIlroy. You know, he's a short little fella.
Is he a short guy?
Yeah. His ex-girlfriend, the tennis player.
She betrayed him, said he was short to the world.
She did.
Yeah.
When they broke up, you know what this woman said?
He's a little short loser.
She did not call him a short loser. She said, well, it'll be, you know, on the bright side, it'd be nice to wear heels again.
Dang.
Dang.
Well, there's a betrayal, Rory.
Yeah, he got betrayed. I feel like that was a betrayal.
That seems like a betraying statement, yes.
Yeah. But, like, on the other hand, we've all seen Roy. We know he's a short fella.
Yeah, we know. Still like him.
He's a short king.
Yep.
That girl said it'd be nice to wear heels again.
Dang.
So, Roy McIlroy, he says if the disgruntled PGA Tour players who left for LIV wanted to change the PGA Tour, they should have done it from the inside, not the outside. And now he fears what this will mean for the sport of golf going forward. You can find that story again at The Guardian.
Story number 4.
Wild headline, WashingtonPost.com. Charles Fishman sent me this. Here's the headline.
Okay.
Woman goes to work, gets swallowed whole by a 22-foot python. That's rough.
Did she die?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, there's probably some decomposition going on.
She's way dead.
Yeah. Dang, man.
It's tough out there.
God, I watched a video. Snakes are scary, man.
Snakes are scary.
I watched a video the other day of some lady, and she had a pet snake, and it was hungry and wrapped around her arm, and there was blood going everywhere. It was awful. And she was trying to stay calm, but she was panicking a little bit because she was bleeding there. Snakes are scary.
Snakes are scary. You're going to get no objection from me, Big Bet Bennett. Yeah. Snakes are scary. This happened in Indonesia, by the way. I didn't want you to think it happened in, you know, Millington
right
or
around
something.
The corner. Yeah.
This didn't happen in Kyrville.
Good.
It wasn't like a mother of three in Kyrville got up to go to work and got swallowed whole by a 22-foot python. This happened in Indonesia, which, by the way, maybe we should Maybe we should stop complaining all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Our country is a disaster, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolute mess. Politics, crazy. School shootings, crazy. It's a goofy country.
Yeah.
I say that as a proud American. It's a goofy country. You'd even argue sometimes feels like a very stupid country.
Yes.
But you know what doesn't happen here? You don't go to work and get swallowed whole by a 22-foot python. That ain't something that you're going to hear about here. And ain't something you're going to hear about here in the United States, is it?
Yeah, I don't think so. You do hear about, like, alligator attacks. You can get those, like, if you're living down in Florida. Like,
yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah, you got to watch out for those.
I'm just telling you, this woman woke up, and she, like, kissed her husband goodbye and said, "Hey, baby, I'm walking to work." And then next thing you know, she's been swallowed whole by a 22-foot python. And relatively speaking, our country's not that bad.
That sounds like that's got to be a horrible death. Because they wrap around you first. Like, it's not like they're just, like, biting you, boom, you're dead.
I think if I lived in Indonesia,
uh-huh,
and I had to walk to work every day, and I knew that this was possible, being swallowed whole by a 22-foot python, and now we know that it is. It happened.
It happened.
I think you got to carry something with you. And then, like, if it gets too...
Like a stick or something.
At the very least, a stick. Yeah. And then, but you got to, like, rather than be swallowed whole by a python, wouldn't you rather just do yourself?
Oh, because it's not like it's just biting you and you're the thing is like wrapping around you and suffocating you, then it's eating you.
Yeah, I think I'd just rather do myself. Like, once I know it's over, I'd just be like, you know what, I'm going to end this myself.
It's like a scene out of Anaconda.
I don't want to go through the rest of this. I think that's what I
don't want to go through.
I just
that.
Hope I never have to make that decision, you know?
I don't think you will, but things are getting weirder every day. You never know.
World's tough out there, man.
World's tough.
Be careful. Be careful. Maybe that's the lesson.
Yeah.
When you're going to work, be careful. All of us.
Mm-hmm.
Indonesia or anywhere else. Jeff Calkins is up next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show. Presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas. Online at redrivertoyota.com. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Paying for last night. I'm feeling all right. And I'm wondering what you're doing tonight. You spent your nine lives.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and that's Memphis Barbecue Company. It's owned by Melissa Cookston, seven-time world champion. First one ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. Obviously, the barbecue is great there. If you want it, go get it. You'll love it. But even if you're not in the mood for barbecue, you can go to Memphis Barbecue Company, because they're going to have a lot of things that don't fall under that umbrella of barbecue. Wouldn't it be something to have an umbrella of barbecue? I'd buy one. Salads, burgers, sandwiches, fried catfish, grilled salmon, grilled chicken, chicken tenders, meatloaf, smoked wings. The menu has got something on it that you will enjoy whether you're looking for barbecue or not. People run into these issues all the time. You're out with some friends, family, kids, wife, husband, whomever. Hey, you want to get some lunch, get some dinner? Yeah. What are you thinking? How about barbecue? I had barbecue last night. I don't really want barbecue again. Okay, fine. We'll go to Memphis Barbecue Company. I'll get barbecue because that's what I want. And you can get something else because it's not what you want. Address is 709 DeSoto Cove from Memphis. It's easy. Take 55 South to Goodman Road exit. Get off, go right. You can see it from the interstate. It's Memphis Barbecue Company. Online, MemphisBBQCO.com. MemphisBBQCO.com. Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show weekdays, 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He joins me every day after 5. He's here right now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm filled with gratitude, GP.
Are you? Why? What makes you feel that way?
Because I, today, was not eaten by a 22-foot snake.
Man, you know what? Count our blessings, huh?
Count our blessings. It's one of those deals where, you know, something bad happens to someone. You think, well, that happened. They probably were dealing drugs or something. I don't do that, so I'm probably okay, right? And in this situation, I had to tell myself, people don't know, there's a woman who was eaten, and I don't know, you may have talked about it in Score Stories before 44. Sadly, I didn't hear this today. But anyway, so this woman was out there harvesting rubber in Indonesia, and she didn't return home. 54-year-old woman, she had a knife with her, too. And they found a snake that looked particularly – I laugh, but I'm not. It's only because you either laugh or you cry. The snake was swollen. They cut the snake open, and they found the woman complete inside.
Yikes.
But dead.
Of course.
How would that be as a way to go? Among the worst?
To answer your initial question, yes, of course we talked about this during Notable Stories at 444. And Bennett submits that it's...
My apologies, yes.
Bennett submits that it's got to be among the worst ways to go because... Well, Bennett, I'll let you speak for yourself.
Well, because it's not like it just bites you and then you start... Like, it wraps its body around you and suffocates you, then it eats you. Like, it's got to be one of the worst.
If you're talking about a way that an animal could kill you, right, it's got to be the worst. What would be worse? Like, it would be if an alligator grabs you and pulls you down to the bottom. He spins you around several times and you drown within 2 or 3 minutes, right? If a lion gets you, back of the neck, snap immediately. If an elephant, they step on you, whatever, boom, done. A snake probably is no fun because a snake, the poison sets in, I think a snake bite, a venomous snake bite, probably no good. Here's my question. Mm. So the snake grabs you.
Mm-hmm.
You said, oh, this sucks. I've been grabbed by a 20-foot-for-2 snake, okay? And then you're like, okay, how do I? And then ultimately it eats you. Are you alive when it eats you, or does it squeeze you to death first, and then it eats you as a dead person? That would be better. I was thinking of what she was thinking as she was actually going down the gullet. Do you think you're alive when you go down the gullet?
I think you're dead before that, but I have no idea. Bennett?
So I think that it bites.
But is Bennett some herpetologist here? We're turning to Bennett for his herpetologist.
My kid's favorite animal is an alligator. I've been to Peru.
He's been to Peru.
I go to the zoo every weekend. Listen,
based on facial hair alone, I'm going to assume Bennett knows more about snakes than us.
No, so I think that it bites you first, right? I've got to think that a python is poisonous, right? Wouldn't a python be poisonous?
I don't know. That seems like something a snake expert should know.
I don't think there's any biting involved.
Well, it's going to bite you to, grab a hold on of you.
It unhinges its jaw and takes you into its...
Here's the question. When you're going down the throat of a snake, are you alive or dead? I think dead.
I think you're dead at that point.
Well, you're not very alive for very long because very clearly, when your head starts to go down into the throat, you probably can't breathe anyway. So, at that point...
It's a tough situation. It's just tough. It's a tough situation to find yourself
in. Okay, so here we go. How does a python kill a human? They attack in an ambush, so it ambushed her, wrapping themselves around their prey and crushing it, squeezing tighter as the victim exhales.
Right. That's what I thought,
So they kill. Okay, now here, listen. This maybe it wasn't as bad as we think because apparently they kill by suffocation or cardiac arrest within minutes. So maybe she died quickly.
Maybe she died quickly. Maybe it's not the worst way to go.
Just squeeze you just within minutes.
I don't know. I don't like being squeezed,
Yeah, I don't want to be squeezed.
I don't really like it.
I don't even like hugging regular people who aren't trying to kill me, really.
Yeah, I don't really want anybody wrapping their arms around me.
For the purpose, right. Yeah.
I don't want anybody squeezing me tight, I don't even like shaking hands tight.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
number one story. It's funny. The way I found out about the story is Fishman texted it.
Yeah, he sent it to me too. He sent it to everybody.
It's the number one. Like all kinds of stuff's happening in the world, right? Whatever. We got the midterm elections coming up. I don't know if you know this. There's a war over there in Ukraine.
Heard about
all kinds of stuff's happening. The number one read story at the Washington Post is snake eats woman.
What a tough deal. You wake up and you just decide, hey, I'm going to work today. You never think that's going to be the way it ends.
You know what I think it means? God must have needed a rubber harvester.
God must have needed a rubber harvester.
You know what they say? You know what? I would reassure her if I could talk to her now and say God doesn't give you more than you can handle. He must have known you could handle being crushed and eaten alive by a giant snake.
It is the worst things about funerals besides the, you know, the deceased. I'll rank the deceased. The worst thing about funerals is the deceased. Yeah. I'll put that number one. But number two is all the stupid things people say at these when people die. I hate it. Like, my wife is under strict instructions. Don't have anybody lying about me at my funeral. Like, they're just saying nonsensical stuff at a funeral. Like, you hear it all the time. Like, you're making a joke. But, like, people say this all the time. Like, a little 9-year-old kid will die some awful death, and somebody will say, I guess God just needed a 9-year-old second baseman. It's like, what?
An angel, yeah. Well, I think God clearly needed a rubber harvester here. And
what do you think God would do with a rubber harvester once he had her?
He'd harvest rubber.
He'd harvest rubber. You know? That's what I would do if I had me a harvester. I don't even know where to find one.
I don't know how you – I think you tap the trees. I think it's like maple syrup, only it's rubber.
Do you ever think about this? Sometimes I think about this. Isn't it amazing all the stuff we have given – like, how much stuff we didn't have, like, 300 years ago? I feel like we...
Oh, incredible. Yeah.
Like, it's kind of crazy that, like, we could just fly across the world and right. Like, communicate with people on the other side of the world. Like, we're killing our planet. I got it. But like, take that, set it aside. It's kind of crazy.
Right.
How do we even, like, forget the internet? How did somebody ever even just figure out how to harvest rubber?
Right.
If I would have been one of the first humans, I wouldn't have figured out anything. I'd just still be sitting in the dark. I'd just be sitting there going, I don't know what to do.
Well, I was saying the other day, like, medicine is an incredible miracle. Like, the idea that you can take a pill, right, and one pill will make your knee stop hurting, right, and another pill will lower your cholesterol, and another pill will,
make you erect.
Will make you focus, rapt attention. Like, it's unbelievable that we have all these pills that do all these things. It's freaking incredible.
And yet, as far as we come, we still got a woman getting sucked alive by a snake.
Did y'all watch the video?
And as far
there's
as
a video of this woman,
there's a video of it.
Kinds of, Bennett says
what?
There's a video.
There's not a video of it.
There's not of her getting eaten. A video of them retrieving her body out of the python.
Oh, come on.
What?
It's pretty intense.
Is it in the Washington Post story?
No, you got to search it on Twitter.
Well, then I'm going to do that.
Yeah, it's intense.
So tell me what. Just take us. Give us the play-by-play.
Well,
say put an egg on
so
it.
I guess they kill the python and then they just slice its body open slowly and like they start pulling this.
Well, are you seeing all this? You're seeing it with your eyes.
Yeah, and they just start pulling this woman's
looking at
body
it now.
Out.
I'm looking at it now. I think I'm looking at it now.
How does she look?
Oh, no,
really,
this is an old video. I'm looking
really
at something
dead.
Else. I'm trying to find the
Bennett,
new video, Bennett.
Does she look squished?
I didn't think so. Here, let me.
Does she look like she could get up and walk away?
Oh, wait. No, you know what? I'm looking at an old video, too.
Bennett,
I'm
God.
Looking at an old video, too.
He's
I'm sorry. No.
Bamboozled.
No, this is it. This is the right video.
Just show me your phone. Let me see it.
Yeah, this is the right video. Right
I want to see
right
this.
Here.
I want to see what's going
how
on.
How many
and
that's,
it says 11
are?
Hours ago. There's like a phlegm around the body, though.
Yeah. Woo. Imagine you had to pull your wife out of a python today. That'd be a hell of a way to spend your afternoon.
Well, the guy filming had
imagine
to walk away.
Imagine you just had a perfectly good meal of a rubber harvester, and all of a sudden people come along and kill you and split your soap open to get your... You know, that would be awful. You get a good meal, and you get sliced open, and they take the meal away from you.
You're making a good point. We're not thinking about this enough from the python's perspective.
You're not thinking about it. Python is just doing what pythons do, you know?
Yeah.
Here's the truth. With deforestation and everything else, python probably couldn't find a deer to eat or whatever. And so the rubber harvester shouldn't have been there, you know, at that point anyway. Like, what are they like... Leave a python in peace.
Feels like victim blaming to me, though.
Yeah.
It does. I didn't say what she was wearing. I didn't, you know, do any of that. Like, I'm not that. Like, but you have to wonder. You python is just being. It's just being a python.
Yeah, I don't hold the python responsible. The python is responsible, but the python did what I expect pythons to do. It should be our goal to stay away from them.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not many. Evidently, not many python attacks. And so far as I know, none in the city of Memphis.
Yeah, so, and that's the other thing. Like, there's a lot of listen, we've had a rough year in many ways in Memphis, and as a country, like, it's easy to fall into a state of despair. You know, politics are crazy, gun violence is insane. But you can still reasonably expect that you can walk to work and not be swallowed whole by a python in the United States of America.
Well, that's the thing. There's not enough attention in the press on the good stories. You know, like, that's one of the good stories that people should highlight. That we've not been there's not been a python attack, even fatal or not, in Memphis all year long.
Not one.
Instead, people like to focus on all the negatives and the carjackings and the potholes and whatever else. I like to think about, you know, the fact that shark attacks, you know, none. Python attacks, none. Rampaging elephants, none. You know, I don't. Everyone likes. Why are people focused all on the negative? You know.
Will you get shot on the interstate? Maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah. Yes. But you're not going to get swallowed whole.
50. Right.
You're not going to get swallowed whole by a python walking to work. That ain't something that's happening in the greater Memphis area. And that's not something we should take for granted.
People take so much for granted.
Everybody wakes up and complaining all day long without recognizing, you know, I live in a place where I'm not going to get eaten by a python today. Life's not so bad.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm filled with gratitude today.
Never felt more satisfied to be an American. Where you are at very little risk.
I have. I'll be honest. I have felt more satisfied to be an American.
Yeah, I have too. I was just continuing the bit. Of course, I felt better about America.
More satisfied to be an American.
America really is a ridiculous place.
We're all fat. I mean, we're all fat. We eat horrible food, and we've embraced stupidity up and down the line. Like, it's just like, you know, anti-knowledge. Pretty racist, really. I mean, let's be honest, but the lack of pythons is good.
Let's focus on the positive. Let me ask you this question. I'm not saying LeBron would be responsible for it, but if you just told LeBron, nobody will hold you accountable, but we can guarantee on the way to work today, Russell Westbrook will be swallowed whole by a python.
No.
Would he do it? Would he sign off on it? I think he might. Did you see Russell?
If no one would ever know. To LeBron.
Yeah.
He just gets to pull the lever. Russell Westbrook, python or not?
Yeah.
I think he'd go python.
I think he would go python at this point. Did you see Russell Westbrook just bought a house across the street from LeBron James?
No, he didn't.
No, I swear to God, $37 million. He just bought a house across the street from LeBron James. Literally,
you cannot get away from that. Is that just trolling? Is that just elaborate trolling?
It has to be, does it? Like, would you? You know,
no, you don't do $37 million trolling. He doesn't have that much money.
You know, your coworker hates you. Why would you want to move across the street from them?
That's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
Do we know they hate each other?
Well, here's what we know. All right. Here's what we know. Because it has been
stupid trade that was to begin with, though. Like, there are times when you're like, boy, I wonder what they were thinking there. Like, but like, this is one where there was no one who thought it was a good idea when the Lakers did it. No one who follows basketball, understands about basketball, thinks about basketball, whatever else, thought this was a good idea. And they obviously wouldn't have done it if LeBron didn't want him to do it.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's self-inflicted. You know, LeBron James has ruined his Lakers situation by pushing for that trade. And so, do we know they hate each other? Here's what I would say. If Woj was going on TV every day and saying Bennett Doyle would love nothing more than to get rid of Gary Parrish, and then Chris Mannix was going on SI.com and writing, you know, I've talked to sources, and Bennett Doyle would love to move on from Gary Parrish. At some point, I would just assume Bennett Doyle hates me, like, right? Or at the very least doesn't respect me as a talent and want me to still be on his team. And once that is established as the baseline, I don't know how you can like each other. It's a total lack of trust and transparency. You would whether you're cussing each other out every day or not, and you're probably not. You don't like each other. That's human nature, isn't it?
You can't like each other. It's funny. Like, I was literally talking to someone recently about the whole Tennessee, the Memphis versus the rest of the Tennessee thing, right? And I really do believe that it's rooted in. I think a lot of the Memphis feeling towards the rest of Tennessee is based on the fact that the rest of Tennessee would be happy if Memphis fell into the river, right? Were traded away.
We have no river.
Is they don't like us. They don't respect us. They're scared of us. They whatever else. And how can you like someone who feels that way about you? It's not because anyone really has anything against Nashville. What's there to have against Nashville? Perfectly fine city. They got nice hills and they got a new stadium coming and whatever else. But it's the fact that they look at us and hate us so much. And so that's how do you like someone like that? And I think the exact same thing would be at play here. If Russell Westbrook knows that LeBron wants to get rid of him and whatever else, I would stop. Even if he liked him before, he would stop liking him at that point.
I mean, that's, again, I can only always speak from my perspective, but like, I would not like LeBron James if I were Russell Westbrook. But in fairness, if I were LeBron James, I would not like Russell Westbrook. So I get it. I get it from both sides. Just a bad marriage. And now, I don't know if you saw this column from Chris Mannix earlier today. You know, he's saying, like, listen, the Lakers have put off pulling the trigger on this Pacers deal for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield and sending them Russ and two future first-round picks, but it's time to do it. I talked to Tim Bontips earlier. He said, with all due respect to Mannix, you cannot do that trade. It makes you good. It doesn't make you great. You should be trying to be great, and you have to wait to see if you can be great. If Brooklyn loses, Kyrie becomes available, Chicago loses, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine become available. But what Tim Bontemps suggested was what they should do now, they should not do the Pacers deal now, but what they should do now is literally just separate Russell Westbrook from the team. Just tell him he's not playing anymore, just like what Houston did with John Wall for different reasons. But just say you're not playing anymore, and we will try to move you at some point. In the meantime, just, you know, stay.
And then they'll win some games that way. Maybe.
Well, yeah, well, that's what Tim said. He said they're
because you can't. The problem is waiting to be great in the West. You know, you got to make the playoffs ultimately, and so you could only wait so long to be great when you're winless. You know, that won't matter if you're great once the West starts to sort itself out. I mean, wait.
If you start 5-15, it doesn't matter who you acquire at that point. You are up against it.
That's the problem. Maybe at 5-15, that's about as late as you could. I mean, and you'd have to become great, right? You'd have to become not just win a few more games than you're winning. You know, you'd have to be a 750 team or something. You know, so that's the problem: is how long do you wait to be great? I mean, the point is supposed to be to win titles, and I don't think the Indiana deal gets you a title. On the other hand, this is a disaster, and you don't have your own freaking draft pick. It goes to New Orleans, which I hate. Chris made the point on my show that even if you're someone who loves rooting against the Lakers, and there's lots of people who do, as a Grizzlies fan, you can't root against them because you don't want them to have a top three, my God, top one pick in this draft.
I mean, just watch the Pelicans. You know, the Pelicans actually contend for a Western Conference title this season. The Lakers don't. Pelicans get their pick and turn it into Scoot Henderson.
Right. Yeah. Just crazy. So, I need the Lakers to make the, I need the Lakers to go ahead and trade those picks and get good.
The argument from Bontemps was, like, they'll actually be better without Russell Westbrook. Crazy as that sounds. Like, they'll just be better without him because, you know, like in Washington, when they just built a team around Russell Westbrook, or the post KD OKC teams, where it was just everything's about Russell Westbrook, he can actually make that team okay when it's all about him. He'll go out and get, you know, 28 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, and he can make you, you know, an average team. But when it's not all about him and you're asking him to serve a different purpose, he cannot do that. And the numbers are, I mean, mind-blowingly bad. He's averaging a career-low 10 points per game, shooting a career-low 28.9% from the field, and a career-low 8.3% from three. I mean, it is – and there was this play, and everybody made note of it on Sunday.
Right.
But the details on it, which I pulled from Mannix's column, also just like, what? So Lakers are up a point, final minute of regulation, and they've got the ball. And Russ comes down and takes a mid-range jumper with 18 seconds left on the clock. Predictably, he misses it. And that's where you see LeBron James and Anthony Davis both, like, obviously frustrated and upset with that decision. According to ESPN Stats and Info, check this out. That moment was the first time a player has attempted a jumper with less than 30 seconds left in regulation and more than 15 seconds left on the shot clock with his team up by a possession in the last four seasons. That shot was so bad, literally nobody else in the NBA even tries it under those circumstances. It hasn't even been attempted in the past 4 years. And that's the shot Russell Westbrook took in that moment, even though he is missing literally more than 7 out of every 10 shots he takes. And so Bontemps said, you know, sort of bottom-lined it very simply. If you're not going to do the deal now, which he would not advise to do, remove Russell Westbrook from the team until you can move him. You'll be better without him.
And just put him, he'll just be in the house across from LeBron. As LeBron drives to work every day, he'll be waving to LeBron.
What if Russell Westbrook just standing out there by the mailbox,
the bird every
just
day,
waving to LeBron? Hey, King, good to see you. Have fun at work today. Hope you have a good day at work.
He'll be in his slippers and his bathrobe. And,
Watch out for the pythons.
Watch out for the pythons.
But have a good time at work. It must, like all the Russell Westbrook jokes aside, it must be miserable to be Russell Westbrook. Think about this. It's one thing if you've always been a scrub. Then you've just always been a scrub, but you've made a nice living in the NBA. Whatever. But when you have been an MVP and you are a future first ballot Hall of Famer, you have been great. And then you sign with your hometown or get traded to your hometown franchise. This is supposed to be a dream come true, and it has been a nightmare for him. So much so.
But I don't really understand then. It's just what I don't understand. I don't understand why in that moment you then take that shot. Like, wouldn't you be like, oh, this isn't going well for me. I better fit in and conform and do what I can to just help the team win, guard and play defense and take the, you know, when I can run and get to the rim, I'll shoot. And like, I don't understand. I guess I care enough what other people think of me that I would conform what I do to improve my reputation. And instead he takes a shot that no one else takes.
Yeah, like some
that
guys
speaks poorly of Russell Westbrook.
There's no question. Some guys just can't adjust to that. Like Vince Carter was the best, the absolute best at saying, I'm no longer a superstar, so I'm going to be a role player. And he adjusted seamlessly to that. But for every Vince Carter, you know, there's an Allen Iverson or Russell Westbrook
right.
who they just
Iverson was the same way.
Same way. Just did right. does not. Allen Iverson got signed by the Grizzlies, a shell of himself, and immediately came to the franchise and thought he should be the leading scorer, best player on the team. He had no concept that he's not great anymore. And like if you're Russell Westbrook, I get that you still think you can do all of these things because you've done them before. But at some point, aren't the numbers the numbers? Like I remember playing, and this is very apples to oranges, but you'll get the point. I play summer baseball every summer, right? And we'd play 5 games a week. I mean, we just played. We were in 2 different leagues and just playing nonstop. And in summer baseball, like nobody really keeps stats. You just play every day. And I remember saying at one point, okay, I'm going to start keeping my own stats. 1-for-3, 2-for-4, 3-for-4, 0-for-4. And over a significant portion of one summer, this is when I first realized, like definitively, I'm good at this, but I'm not anything special at this. I'm good enough to be a starter for a good high school baseball team, but that's about all I am. I started keeping the stats myself, and it was just like, you're hitting .294 in summer baseball. If you're hitting .294 in summer baseball, you're not that good. You're just not. And I was like, I can't look at those numbers. It's a little bit like golf. You can spend all the time out on the driving range, practice range that you want, on the putting green, all that stuff. At some point, if you're going out and shooting 90s every time you shoot, that's just what you are. You're not very good. And if you're Russell Westbrook, wouldn't you have to look at these numbers and say, I'm shooting 28.9% from the field, 8.3% from three, This is my second straight really bad statistical season. My player efficiency rating is below 10. I'm just not that good. Doesn't matter what I think I used to be or what I think I can do. I'm not good anymore.
Well, I would think he would say, I would think he, most people would say, I don't know if they'd say I'm not that good. Maybe they'd say, I'm not that, I'm in a bad patch, or, you know, I haven't figured it out on this team, or whatever else. But they would then say, so what can I do to look the best, even if it's not, like, to contribute, which is you know, what you'd hope they'd say. What can I do to, like, make myself look better in this context when I can't hit a shot? Take Dylan Brooks the other night. Dylan Brooks was missing everything. Comes back in the lineup. He's missing everything. The fans are restless every time he shoots. And so when the ball is swung to him in the final minute of the game to get an offensive rebound, he's wide open. What is Dylan Brooks? And we say all the time, Dylan Brooks doesn't have any sense of, you know, self or whatever else. What does he do? He thinks to himself, you know what? I'm not hitting shots. Desmond Bain is. I'm open, wide open, but so is Desmond Bane. I'm going to swing it to Desmond Bane. How hard is that? It is, I mean, to at least in that moment, it's not Dylan Brooks saying, I'm not good. It's Dylan Brooks saying, I'm not making shots right now. He is. And by the way, if you then make that play, what does the coach do in the post-game press conference? He praises you for making that
cannot
play.
Cannot wait. Taylor Jenkins could not wait to talk about that play specifically.
Right. And so that's the thing. If you just start making those plays, if you're Russell Westbrook, people are like, oh, look how Russell Westbrook changed. Look at, oh, look at, he can't adapt. He, like, it's not like there's some, you know, humiliation in not doing that. It's, I just don't, that's why it's so hard to understand why it is so, why one doesn't adapt. I don't really get it. I really think it speaks poorly of Russell Westbrook.
Well, they have reportedly asked him, like, you know, or suggested, you know, what if you went to the second unit and it was all about you when you're on the court without LeBron and AD? And he just resists that. And at some point, if you're Darvin Ham or that front office, like, dude, we have told you what you need to do to be effective for this team. You won't do it. We've suggested that we need to bring you off the bench. You have no interest in it. We this ain't working. Just go away. Like, I don't think – how about this? Because he's not expected to play tonight because of a hamstring injury. That's what they're describing it right as. 2 weeks from now, is Russell Westbrook an active Laker? I think probably not.
I think probably not, yeah.
Yeah.
I think probably not. And I think the chances of that he's eating a python growing.
Whew. Well, fingers crossed.
Could have to be a big python. All right, see you, man.
I'll see you later. Yeah, Russell Westbrook's a, you know, the point guard. He's still, you know,
yep,
larger than average size man. It might take a – You think a 22-foot python could handle Russell Westbrook? Might take a 30-footer.
Might take a 30-footer, yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to see the studies on that. Start the NFL week off right with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel. It's America's number one sports book. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. Going to get free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay doesn't hit. NFL same-game parlays, perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday in this Thursday night game. Perfect time to try it. Ravens Bucks, Raymond James Stadium, Tampa. You could take Tom Brady over passing yards, Lamar Jackson over passing yards, and the over 44. It's a same game parlay with offense in mind. You can play that one or build your own or choose from one of the popular SGPs pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL Thursday night with a no-sweat same game parlay. Just sign up with promo code Gary if you don't already have an account. And if you do have an account at FanDuel, you're all set. Just sign in and see what you got. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NFL Odyssey and 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be at least 21, present in Tennessee. 3+ legs and minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. You got a gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to take advantage of BetMGM rewards. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
NBA season is finally back, and it's going to be an amazing year for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Red River Ford Toyota wants to send you to a game.
All you have to do is swing by the dealership and sign up for free tickets.
Justin, that's it? Just come by the dealership and sign up?
Yep, that's it. No gimmick, no test drives, no hidden stuff.
And this is for the Memphis Grizzlies versus the Utah Jazz.
So come by Red River Ford Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas, and sign up for free Grizzly tickets. And for all your car buying needs, visit Red River Ford.
You've heard me talk about Dr. Mehdi Siddiqui and his staff at the Smile Center, but here's the thing. Even if you don't have insurance, they have a membership plan at the Smile Center, in-office insurance plan for patients that do not have dental insurance. If you want whiter teeth, you can now have a white, dazzling Hollywood smile with Zoom in-office whitening. You can have a white smile in less than 2 hours. Go see Dr. Mehdi and his clinical staff. They've all been vaccinated. 1941 South Germantown Road in Germantown near Saddle Creek. Phone number is 309-1333. SmileCenterMemphis.com.
Hey, Mid-South, I've got Jeff Allen on the phone at Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah. Hey, Jeff, what's shaking?
We are making our customers happy, happy at Gossett Kia Mount Moriah. How about this? 2023 Kia Sorento LX all-wheel drive for just $257 per month. 36-month lease, $29.99 due at signing. And I've got a 2023 Kia Sportage LX front-wheel drive, $287 per month. 36-month lease, $34.99 due at signing.
Well, I'm feeling happy, Jeff.
And if you don't see what you want, no problem. I'll order exactly what you want, and you won't pay over MSRP at Gossett Kia on Mount Moriah.
Plus, every Gossett Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia Mount Moriah.
2680 Mount Moriah or KiaMountMoriah.com.
Cell phones, B738-6423, MSRP 25325, K5950-6883, MSRP 26860, PF695. Includes all rebates and incentives. Must finance through Kia. Excludes tax final license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 10/31/2022 with approved credit. Dealer stock only. Warranties and limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details.
Hey there, it's Gary Parrish, and I've been talking to you about James Davis for a while now. It's one of the best clothing stores in the entire country, my favorite place to shop, and I want to remind you that if you need some help as we move into these fall months, my friends at James Davis are ready to help you. Need new clothes for tailgates, parties, weddings, or just dinner with friends? The folks at James Davis are eager for you to visit the store so they can show you how you should dress to look your best no matter the occasion. With the weather changing, the quarter zips are obviously great, and James Davis also has vests, cotton performance five-pocket pants in new fall colors, and an incredible inventory of sport coats. If you're lacking style, it's no problem. The fantastic staff at James Davis can put everything together for you and have you looking sharp, sharp, sharp. If you need to update that closet, the best thing to do right now is get over to James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center. That's James Davis right here in Memphis. Take advantage of it. James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center, online, jamesdavismemphis.com.
It's Howie with Robert Irwin Jewelers, and everyone remembers every moment of their engagement.
I really love selling engagement rings, Danny. You know why? Because an engagement ring is so special. It's the first time two people commit to each other, and I want to be part of that story. At Robert Irwin Jewelers, you got to come in. You got to see all the different engagement rings we have. We're having a huge bridal sale. It's going on now. I'm going to give you the confidence to get down on one knee, pop open the box. You're going to get a yes. That's what it's all about. We've got free financing, 5 locations, or online at rijewelers.com.
What QC Kinetics is doing for people here in Memphis is nothing short of amazing. Folks are getting real lasting relief from joint pain. Hey there, it's Gary Parrish reminding you that QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in exciting new pain treatments with advanced regenerative medicine surgical alternatives. If you're living with joint pain from injury or arthritis, don't let anybody tell you steroids, pain meds, and surgery are your only options. Not true. QC Kinetics is also an option because they use regenerative treatments that can restore and repair damaged tissue. Maybe you've been diagnosed with bone-on-bone arthritis and been told you need a replacement. Before you do anything, call QC Kinetics now for an alternative way to deal with the pain. These amazing protocols also work with pain caused by injury, such as a torn meniscus or rotator cuff. So call QC Kinetics. Don't keep living with that pain. Learn how regenerative medicine can give you your life back with no drugs and no surgery. Call QC Kinetics for a free consultation, 901-445-1010, 901-445-1010. That's QC Kinetics, 901-445-1010. 10-10.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
When disaster strikes, I hope you know who to call. If not, let me tell you, Service Master by Cornerstone, largest franchise in a 600-mile radius. But you don't just call them because they're the largest. You call them because they're the best, the absolute best solving problems after a disaster. What kind of problems? Problems like smoke damage, fire damage, water damage. Maybe you've got damage from a storm. You got a mold problem. None of these things are great. In fact, they're all awful. I hope to God none of them ever happen to you. But if they do happen to you, all I'm telling you is that it's not life is over for you. You're going through a rough stretch. But everything can be fine. And everything can be fine because of Service Master by Cornerstone. They can help you. Their motto is, we don't pray for disasters. We just pray we get called when there is one. So remember that name. Locally owned, locally operated. It's Service Master by Cornerstone. 901-624-9200. That's the number. 624-9200. They're available 24/7. 2 in the afternoon, you call, they'll be there for you. 2 in the morning, you call, they'll be there for you. It's Service Master by Cornerstone. Online, smcornerstone.com. smcornerstone.com. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but it seems obvious to me. And it's not always obvious to me what the most important thing we learned today is, but mm-hmm. It seems obvious to me today.
Me too.
Beware of pythons on your walk to work.
Yeah. I don't think we need to worry about it.
Keep your head on a swivel, as they say.
Sure, keep your head on a swivel. I think we're okay. There are pythons in North America, so like, it can happen. But I think we're gonna be all right.
I don't think you and I, and most Americans have to worry about pythons on our walk to work. You know, most Americans don't even walk to work.
You think not?
But if you get transferred to Indonesia, like let's say you work at FedEx. And at some point, they're like, hey, we're transferring you into Indonesia. That'd be a hell of a thing to hear, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But once you get there and you're like, oh, well, this isn't so bad. My house is right here. My FedEx headquarters is just half mile away. I can walk to work every day. Boy, you can see how you fall into these traps, can't you?
Yeah.
If you end up walking to work every day to FedEx while living in Indonesia after being transferred there, just be careful. There's a woman. She was walking to work in Indonesia, swallowed whole by a 22-foot python. They had to cut this woman out of that python. Bennett's got video, so if you want to watch it, just tweet him. He'll send it to you.
Yeah.
What's the biggest game tonight? Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
So we got a doubleheader on ESPN, and starting at 6:30, Brooklyn Nets, Milwaukee Bucks. Superstars all over the court. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Nets enter 1-2, 0-1 away from home after getting handled no problem inside FedEx Forum the other night. Bucks are 2-0, one of only two undefeated teams left in the NBA. They've only played two games. Tonight will be their third. Milwaukee minus 3.5. The total's 231.5. How you feeling, Big Bet Bennett?
I'm going to say, I'll say Nets cover. Yeah, I'll say Nets cover. Desperation time.
The same Brooklyn Nets that couldn't stay in single digits against Ja Morant and the Grizzlies stay within 3.5 points of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Greek Freak, and the Milwaukee Bucks. That's what you're trying to sell me?
Yeah.
You don't look or sound confident.
There's some weirdness going on in these early season NBA games.
You think you've sniffed out some funny business.
I think I've sniffed out a little funny business here. I do. I really do.
You think that number looks too low to most people, which is why you say, let's take Brooklyn plus 3.5.
Yeah.
I like that you're starting to recognize funny business and also act on it. We'll take Brooklyn plus the 3.5. We'll ride with KD and Cuckoo Kyrie.
What should I watch on TV? Presented by Edwin Watts Golf.
Can I interest you in The Good Nurse?
I feel like that there's been a million shows named this. Am I wrong?
Dude, I had the same thought when I read this.
Yeah, like, haven't we had a good nurse before?
It feels like we've had Nurse Jackie.
We've had Nurse Jackie. I don't know, it just sounds so
familiar. I think we've
had
The Good Doctor.
Okay, well, there we go.
That's what it is. We had The Good Doctor.
This
and
is
now
spin-off.
We have The Good Nurse. It doesn't appear it's a spinoff. This is a movie.
Oh, okay. I like movies.
Dropped on Netflix today. An overworked ICU nurse. Hey, aren't they all?
Yeah.
Aren't they all? An overworked ICU nurse turns to her selfless new colleague for support until he falls under suspicion after a patient's unexpected death.
Ooh.
He might be a murderer.
Who's in this?
Jessica Chastain.
Love her.
Love her.
Love her.
Love her.
Yep.
Eddie Redmayne.
I like Eddie.
That's two pretty significant.
That's some names. You got some names. This might be all right.
80% approval on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Sir, that means it's certified fresh. Dropped today on Netflix. It's a little less than 2 hours, so knock it out if you get bored.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Yeah, I filed the annual Coaches on the Hot Seat column for CBSSports.com earlier today, heading into this college basketball season. I've done it the past 2 years. I do five names each year. 2 years ago, five guys I listed, none of them still have their jobs. Last year, five games I listed, only one of them still has his job. You get on this list, your life expectancy goes down pretty dramatically. This year's coaches on the list, Brad Brownell at Clemson, Northwestern's Chris Collins, Georgetown's Patrick Ewing, Stanford's Jared Haas, and North Carolina State's Kevin Keats.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Well, it'll be Thursday, so we'll get ready for Thursday night football. Grizz Kings tomorrow night. A couple of ranked college football teams playing tomorrow night as well. Lots going on. Should be a fun day. Looking forward to it already. Enjoy your night. I'll enjoy mine. Going to meet back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful, be kind, be good. Rep your hood.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, where the legacy of sports is flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers talk. Always live on the free Odyssey app and smart speakers say Play 92.9 ESPN, powered by DuckDuckGo.
Tell us about your shopping experience at James Gaddis Jewelers.
A five-star experience through the whole process of buying an engagement ring at James Gaddis Jewelers. James and his staff helped with showing me certified diamonds all within my budget, explaining the details of each diamond. From the initial consultation, designing, and purchasing, oh, it was a great experience. The entire staff at the office made me feel like family.
Visit James Gaddis Jewelers today at 4900 Poplar Avenue or GaddisJewelers.com.
Hey, 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 Mid-South, you want a new ride? We Gossett and Gossett Kia on the Pike. How about up to 35 mpg in the new 2023 Kia Seltos LX SUV? Only $257 a month, 36-month lease, $29.99 to its signing. And get behind the wheel for a real thrill in 2023 Kia K5 LXS sedan. We Gossett $293 a month, 36-month lease, $31.99 to its signing. If you don't see what you want, not a problem. Let Bobby J. order a new ride for you today. And you won't pay over MSRP. Plus, get Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. Ask for Bobby J. He'll put you in a new Kia today. Gossett Kia, 1900 Covington Pike. Online, KiaCovingtonPike.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
Seltos P738-6423, MSRP25325, K5956883, MSRP26860, PF695. Includes all rebates and incentives. Must finance through Kia. Excludes tax title and license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 10/31/2022 with approved credit. Dealer stock only. Warranties and limited powertrain warranty.